Good evening, and welcome to Boston University's World of Ideas. I'm Jack Lepiarz. Tonight, we have a lecture presented by the Boston University Center for the Study of Europe titled The Welfare State at Risk. Our speaker is Patrick Sackwe, Assistant Professor of Sociology at Goethe University in Frankfurt, Germany. We begin with an introduction by tonight's moderator, Sigrun Olafsdottir, Associate Professor of Sociology at Boston University.
It is a great professional and personal pleasure to welcome Patrick Sackwe to Boston University. Patrick is an Assistant Professor at Goethe Universität in Frankfurt, Germany. He received his PhD from University of Bremen in 2009, where his dissertation focused on how Germans socially construct and understand social inequality. Broadly speaking, his work focuses on inequality in the welfare state, both in Germany and in a cross-national perspective. His research has been published in various journals, including the Socioeconomic Review, European Sociological Review, and Social Policy and Administration. He currently has a grant from the German Research Foundation, where he is methodologically and substantially extending his dissertation work on social inequality in Germany. More personally for me, I have known Patrick since, it's kind of hard to believe, since 2002, I believe, when he spent a year in the U.S. in an exchange program. Since then, we have shared many conversations about various topics, but perhaps most consistently, we come back to our discussion about our love for the welfare state, which probably features in almost every single conversation we have. So consequently, I'm especially glad to again welcome Patrick here to BU.
Well, thank you very much, Sigrun, for that very nice and kind introduction. And I hope to live up to the expectations that you just generated and or raised, maybe. I'm very happy to present here in this context and to be given the opportunity to present here. And what I want to do is present a little ongoing work I'm doing, which sort of tries to tackle the overarching question: what the prospects of welfare state solidarity in Europe within the context of the current economic and financial crisis and the Great Recession might be. And my focus here in this talk will be on how perceptions of the crisis and perceptions of personal impact of the crisis differs between different social groups and what consequences this might have for their social policy preferences or popular support for the welfare state. And especially, I'm interested in how crisis experiences affect welfare state support among traditional supporters of the welfare state versus traditional opponents of the welfare state. And I'm also interested in cross-national differences between different European countries. So this is sort of what I want to talk about. If there is anything while I'm talking that you don't understand, that you need to be clarified, please don't hesitate to ask. If I'm talking too fast or too quiet, I have an inclination to be too quiet, please raise your hand and indicate, and I will try to better myself. As Sigrun has mentioned, my research is organized around two broad themes. The one is sort of the symbolic order of social inequality, as I call it. And there I'm currently directing a larger project on perceptions of inequality and social justice in Germany. And we're doing that from a mixed methods perspective. And we're doing focus group discussions, or have just finished focus group discussions with people from different social classes in Germany, and try to use that to formulate new survey items for a standardized quantitative survey, and to generate hypotheses also for a quantitative survey that will be fielded at the end of this year. And the other stream or long-running research interest of mine is revolves around attitudes towards the welfare state and the popular legitimacy of the welfare state in a European comparative perspective. And I think what connects both themes of research is sort of the interest in to what extent selfish versus other regarding or non-selfish motives underpin popular views of inequality and the welfare state. So my starting point is sort of the fact that during the global financial and economic crisis of 2007 and 2008, the welfare state or welfare states in Europe more broadly acted as sort of crisis managers or automatic stabilizers that helped to cushion the impact of the economic crisis for citizens. And social and labor market policies during the crisis were sort of extended in some sense to mitigate the crisis, consequences of the crisis for citizens. So, for instance, there were short-term work schemes, which are basically government subsidies to employers in order to prevent layoffs in Germany and the Netherlands, for instance. We had public job creation schemes, for example, in Sweden and in some part also in the UK, and the enhancement of income security by relaxing the receivement or receipt of unemployment benefits, for instance. So the welfare state sort of acted as a crisis manager and automatic stabilizer for citizens' living conditions. And the corresponding assumption about people's attitudes within the scholarly but also within the academic debate was that during times of economic crisis and also during the Great Recession, support for the welfare state would increase. The research on the Great Recession and on the impacts of the Great Recession has so far focused mostly, however, on the causes and on the trajectory of the crisis and on governments' coping reactions and policies implemented, and less emphasis has been put on how citizens themselves have sort of reacted to the crisis or feel affected by the crisis and how this relates to their sociopolitical attitudes. And this is what I'm interested in today, and this is what I would like to do. I would like to ask, to what extent do citizens in Europe feel personally affected by the crisis, and how does this relate to their welfare attitudes? And more specifically, I'm interested in how perceived crisis impacts and welfare attitudes vary across different countries, which sort of have varying protective capacities or which differ in their welfare system's protective capacity and also in the specific crisis policies implemented. And additionally, I'm also interested in how subjective assessments of the crisis and of welfare attitudes vary between different social groups. And in order to do that, I rely on cross-sectional survey data from the Eurobarometer 2010. And that doesn't allow me to track change over time because the items were fielded only at one point in time. But it does contain questions on the impact of the crisis and attitudes towards the welfare state in an integrated data set for a greater number of European countries or for all member states of the European Union, in fact, which is sort of not the case with many other data sets. So, therefore, I rely on that data. So the theoretical background of my research is basically departing from what some researchers termed, or some scholars have termed, the governmental protection hypothesis. And that is a rather simple hypothesis, which posits that welfare state support increases in hard economic times when unemployment is high, economic growth is low, when inflation tends to go up, and it decreases in good economic times when growth rates go up again, when unemployment goes down, inflation goes down. And largely, this is driven or supposed to be driven by citizens' rational self-interest in social protection. And prior studies have provided some evidence for this governmental protection hypothesis. We see, when we look at sort of how aggregate factors impact attitudes towards the welfare state, that in countries or during time periods with harsher economic conditions, that is when unemployment is high, when growth is low, or when inflation is high, then support for the welfare state is greater. And we also see on the individual level that individual crisis experiences like losing your job, losing parts of your income, increase your social policy preferences. If we looked at that from a longitudinal perspective. But apart from sort of what we do know, there is little attention in current research that has been giving to differences among different social groups or social classes. And I think this is an important issue because different groups or different classes are differentially affected by economic crisis. Crisis impacts differ for different groups. And when we look at welfare attitudes within the context of the current Great Recession, then most of the research has so far looked at liberal countries like the UK or the US, but we don't know much about welfare attitudes within a broader European comparative context. And I think the European comparative perspective is particularly interesting given sort of the different approaches to welfare provision within Europe and the different crisis reactions that have been implemented in different European countries. So the background here, the implicit background for that is sort of the typologies that have been developed on cross-national variation of national welfare systems, like Esping Anderson's classification of liberal, social democratic, and conservative corporatist welfare states, or Castle's broader conceptualization of different families of nation. And I partly sort of have that as a background for my comparative perspective on how individual crisis experiences are embedded in different institutional and sociopolitical contexts. And we see that welfare systems in Europe differ systematically, and also crisis responses, or some crisis responses in terms of labor market and social policy, tended to be somewhat in line with sort of established patterns and approaches to welfare provision. So in the Anglophone countries like the UK or Ireland, we have generally comparatively low protective capacity against economic downturns. So social protection is largely means tested and acts as a sort of last resort safety net. And we also see, compared to the considerable fiscal stimuli that were provided to the banking sector in the UK and in Ireland, a rather modest crisis response in terms of labor market and social policy. So there were some public job creation schemes in the UK, but mostly the approach was oriented towards the supply side of the labor market, focused on activation of unemployed people, to assistance to for job search and these kinds of things. But unemployment benefits continued to decline, as they did since Thatcher. And so in terms of social and labor market policy, the crisis response was comparatively modest. Within the continental European countries, we have medium levels of social protection. Social protection here often is tied to an individual's participation and status within the labor market, and also that of his household and family members is sort of derived from his labor market position. And we also see a tendency towards an insider, labor market insider-oriented crisis response. So for instance, the German short-term work policy was aimed at keeping sort of skilled workers in their jobs. It replaced parts of their salary when employers cut down their working hours by the government. So the government replaced parts of workers' salary when employers cut their working hours so they could retain their workers during the crisis and have a skilled workforce when the recession would be over. So, but this is largely targeting sort of those in privileged or kind of privileged, well-protected labor market positions. And contributes to sort of the insider-outsider divide that is underlying these sort of social protection schemes in the continental European welfare states. We have in the Scandinavian countries, by contrast, a still comparatively high protective capacity, despite sort of the restructuring and in some parts also retrenchment that has been taking place in Scandinavia. And also we see a much more active crisis response. We see sort of a focus on maintaining high employment levels. We have a focus on activating the unemployed. That is similar sort of to the liberal countries, but we also see public job creation schemes where temporary jobs within the public sector have been created in order to prevent mass unemployment, and also the conditions for receiving unemployment benefits, for instance, were relaxed in some countries such as Sweden, and income security thereby enhanced. So in the Scandinavian sort of nations, we see a rather active crisis response in terms of social policy and labor market policy, which sort of cushioned the consequences for citizens to a greater extent, at least, than in other parts of Europe. So in the southern European countries like Italy or Spain or Portugal, we find rather fragmented systems of social protection that combine sort of the insider orientation of conservative welfare regimes, where sort of those in stable and secure labor market positions are well protected, with atypical less protected forms of employment. And these are the countries that have also been severely affected by the crisis and that are now under a pressure in order to reduce the government debt they had to go into to sort of cut back spending and retrench the welfare state, and are under the pressure of sort of institutionalized austerity, as Wolfgang Strick calls it, in order to actually balance the national budget. And so they are under pressure to cut back on social spending. And Eastern Europe, we find the landscape of rather heterogeneous welfare systems that combine sort of liberal elements and elements from the conservative corporatist world. And they were also pretty much affected by the Great Recession, and social protection there is usually or generally less developed than in other European countries. So here we also find a more or less developed protective capacity against sort of economic shocks, basically. And so based on these differences and considerations, I want to investigate two hypotheses. The first hypothesis, or the first, the two parts of the first hypothesis, I should say, refer to the impact of the crisis. And the first hypothesis expects that the impact of the crisis should be felt most strongly in Eastern and Southern Europe and in the Anglophone nations, and less strongly in continental Europe and Scandinavia. And in the second part of this hypothesis, I expect that members of disadvantaged groups, like the lower classes, this is members of the working class, non-manual routine workers, for instance, also, or the unemployed, should feel more affected by the crisis than members of privileged groups. And with regard to welfare attitudes, I expect that feeling personally affected by the crisis should be associated with higher welfare state support. And I'm particularly interested in sort of the cross-national differences here and differences between different social groups, and how sort of feeling personally affected by the crisis might have different consequences for welfare state support of different social groups. And I want to investigate or test these hypotheses with data from the Eurobarometer 2010. The Eurobarometer is a standardized quantitative comparative survey that is fielded by the European Commission, actually. So it includes all member states of the European Union. And it has been running since, I think, the early or middle 70s. So it goes back in time for a long while. But the European Commission fields two Eurobarometer surveys a year, and always relates to current political and economic and other issues. So the advantage is sort of this data is its topicality, and you can do sort of you have data that deal with current developments and current issues. And the drawback sometimes is that some questions are not repeated for many points in time, or they change questions between different time points, or you do not always have the same questions. So that limits somewhat the possibility to introduce also a temporal dimension and to look at change of attitudes over time. And for what I'm interested here, I didn't find a data set that contain both my dependent variables at another point in time. So I can only look at sort of Europeans' attitudes at the midst of the crisis. I mean, the survey was fielded in early 2010, late 2009, and it's sort of the midst of the crisis that this was being fielded. The sample includes all 27 European member states, or member states of the European Union, actually. And my dependent variables are two items, mostly. One looks at the perceived personal impact of the crisis, and the other at support for greater state responsibility for social provision. And I also look at support for redistribution as a sort of robustness check. And if you're interested in the question wording, the perceived crisis impact is measured with the question, to what extent do you consider that the current crisis is or is not having an impact on each of the following, your personal situation? And I recoded that so that those who feel a very or fairly significant impact are recoded as one, and those who don't feel an impact are recoded as a zero. And welfare state support is measured with an item that asks whether people think the government should take more responsibility to ensure that everyone is provided for. If people agree to that, that is an indication of support for the welfare state. The other response alternatives where people should take more responsibility to provide for themselves, or it depends, and I recode both of these together as a zero. And support for redistribution was asked whether citizens support the statement that the government should ensure that the wealth of the country is redistributed in a fair way to all citizens. So, but the perceived crisis impact and welfare state support are my prime dependent variables. As independent variables or independent covariates, I'm looking at or using a measure of social class, that is the European socioeconomic classification, which is sort of an occupational class scheme. I also include employment status, education in three categories, primary, secondary, tertiary, age and gender as micro-level covariates. And on the aggregate level as contextual variables, I include unemployment rates averaged across the period from 2008 until 2010, growth rates also averaged across 2008 until 2010, and social spending in 2010 to reflect sort of current welfare state effort on the macro level. And I analyze the expectations I formulated in the hypothesis first descriptively and then with multi-level logit regression models with random intercepts. So what do cross-national differences in perceived crisis impact in Europe actually look like? We have here on the y-axis, the share of respondents who say that the crisis has impacted them fairly or very significantly personally, and we have on the x-axis the average rate of economic growth between 2008 and 2010, and we see that it's especially the Eastern and Southern European nations where a large share of people feel personally affected by the crisis. So we have about 80% or more of respondents in Greece, Hungary, Romania, or Bulgaria who feel personally affected by the crisis. And between like two-thirds and 80% in Eastern and Southern European nations like Italy, Portugal, Spain, but also Lithuania, Estonia, and Ireland as an Anglophone nation is also in that group of high crisis impact. On the other hand side, we have a group where a third of the population or less feels personally affected by the crisis, and that is sort of a cluster of continental European and Scandinavian nations like Germany, Austria, Finland, Denmark, Sweden, but also the Netherlands are there. And we see sort of a fairly straightforward negative relationship between economic conditions and perceived crisis impact. That is statistically significant on the aggregate level. If we look at unemployment, we see a similar picture. We see that where the unemployment average unemployment rate is higher, also the share of people saying that they have been personally affected by the crisis is higher, and that's sort of the same pattern again. The southern and eastern European nations are among those where large shares of the population feel personally affected, and continental European and Scandinavian nations are on the low end, where few people have been personally affected by the crisis. So economic conditions matter for whether people feel personally affected by the crisis or not. I think that's pretty straightforward. If we now look at how that relates to welfare state effort in terms of social spending as a percentage of GDP per capita, we see also that social spending matters. We see that the share of respondents who say that the crisis has affected them personally is lower the higher social spending is in different countries. So we have sort of countries with low social spending but high share of respondents that feel personally affected by the crisis. And again, this is Eastern and Southern Europe, like Greece, Hungary, Romania, Bulgaria, but also Ireland as an Anglophone nation. And we have sort of the high-spending countries where few people feel personally affected by the crisis, like Sweden, Finland, Denmark, Austria, or Germany. So the welfare state matters in terms of whether people feel affected by the crisis or not. It reduces sort of the extent to which, or the share of people feeling personally affected. We find a negative, statistically significant correlation on the aggregate level. So how does now feeling personally affected by the crisis not only differ across nations but also across groups? We see here, and that might look a little complicated at first, but it's rather simple. We see here in the red line the share of the whole population that feels personally affected by the crisis. And I've split that up into different occupational classes. The orange diamond is the service and intermediate class, so the upper classes. The green triangle are the self-employed. The white rectangle are the routine, non-manual, and working class. And the blue dot are the unemployed people. And basically, we see, first of all, this the same as before, that it's Eastern and Southern Europe where a larger share of respondents feels personally affected by the crisis. And we also see that across countries, it's mostly the unemployed who feel disproportionately affected by the crisis, and also in many countries, members of the routine non-manual and of the working class who feel disproportionately affected by the crisis. But also, and that is sort of not quite in line with my hypothesis on group differences, but also we see in some nations that the self-employed feel disproportionately affected by the crisis. And that sort of suggests that it's those groups who are particularly dependent on the labor market or on the market in general who feel affected by the crisis. We also see, if we look at the extent of group differences, that group differences are smaller when more people feel affected by the crisis, and they tend to become larger as fewer respondents feel affected by the crisis. So now, how do these perceptions of crisis impact on one's personal situation go together with welfare state support or support for greater state responsibility? As one would expect, we see that where more people feel personally affected by the crisis, support for state or support for greater state responsibility for social provision is higher. So there's a pretty straightforward positive association between the share of respondents feeling personally impacted by the crisis and the share of respondents demanding greater state responsibility for social provision. Again, with the Eastern European and Southern European countries feeling high crisis impact, but also high welfare state demand. and with sort of the continental European low-impact cluster of nations here, where no clear-cut relation between crisis impact and welfare state support appears to exist. So that is sort of the descriptive overview that, in general, we find perceived crisis impact differs across nations and across different groups, and it differs sort of systematically. Perceived crisis impact is higher where economic conditions are bad and welfare state spending sort of can ameliorate or mitigate perceived crisis impact. And we also see that members of disadvantaged groups feel affected to a greater extent, but this is a little bit complicated by the self-employed feeling also impacted to a greater extent. So now, if we look at that from a multivariate perspective, I first focus on contextual influences of macroeconomic conditions and social spending on perceived crisis impact. These are results from a multi-level logit regression model. I report odds ratios. Micro-level control variables are included but not shown here. And we see when we look at and include each contextual factor separately that economic growth does not significantly affect perceived crisis impact once we control for individual level differences and the composition of the population. And we see that unemployment significantly increases the odds of feeling personally affected by the crisis, while social spending significantly decreases the odds of feeling personally affected by the crisis. But when we include all contextual indicators in one model, we see that the effect of unemployment disappears. So given similar levels of unemployment, increases in social spending can reduce the odds of feeling personally affected by the crisis. So the welfare state, again, matters for the question whether people feel the impact of the crisis or not, or how likely they are to feel the impact of the crisis or not. Let's see how that differs across different groups. These are, again, odds ratios from a multi-level logit regression. I depict them graphically. If these blue dots are on the right-hand side of the red line, we find a positive association, that is an increase in the odds of a specific group compared to the reference group to feel affected by the crisis. When the dots are on the red, left-hand side of the red line, we have a decrease in the odds. And when these vertical bars, these are confidence intervals, when they cut the red line, then the effect isn't significant. And we see basically the similar picture as in the descriptive account. It's particularly the unemployed down here and members of the working class and the non-manual routine workers who have higher odds of feeling personally affected by the crisis compared to the employed or people in the upper classes, but also the small employers and the self-employed. So it's not only those in disadvantaged positions, but also people who are traditionally supposed to be the opponents of the welfare state who feel affected by the crisis. So the small employers and the self-employed. And how does that now relate to popular support for the welfare state? Here we have the effects of group membership, of feeling personally affected by the crisis, and interaction terms between the two on welfare state support and on support for redistribution. And when we only look at group membership, or when we first look at the perceived crisis impact, maybe we see that feeling personally affected by the crisis increases support for the welfare state a little. And we see also that when we include the interaction term between feeling personally affected and social class and employment status, we see the traditional pattern of welfare state support. We see that the self-employed who don't feel affected by the economic crisis actually have lower odds of supporting the welfare state, or that there's a negative effect. And we see that the routine non-manual workers and the members of the working class are among the supporters of the welfare state. But when we look at sort of these groups, if they feel personally affected by the crisis, we see that feeling personally affected by the crisis can shift support among traditional welfare state opponents, that is the self-employed. So if the self-employed feel personally affected by the crisis, they support greater state responsibility for social provision, whereas if you look at the traditional welfare state supporters like routine non-manual workers or the working class, feeling personally affected by the crisis doesn't basically matter whether they support the welfare state or not. So that doesn't make a difference for them. We see that for pensioners, one of the big transfer classes of the welfare state and one of the big beneficiary groups of the welfare state, feeling personally affected increases welfare state support, versus when they don't affect it, they don't differ from those in employment. So, but feeling personally affected by the crisis basically matters most for the self-employed in terms of moderating their welfare state support. And we have a very similar picture if we look at support for redistribution as a sort of robustness check. I mean, this could be totally random somehow, but we have a very similar pattern when we look at support for redistribution, except that feeling personally affected by the crisis now also increases support for redistribution among the working class and the upper middle class, so the intermediate class. But again, we see the self-employed do not differ significantly from the upper service class if they don't feel affected by the crisis, but they become in favor or are in favor of redistribution if they feel affected by the crisis. So there's a significant interaction term with regard to support for redistribution here. So in sum, we see that whether people feel personally affected by the economic crisis or not varies systematically across different European countries. We see that in Eastern and Southern Europe, and also in the Anglophone nations, Ireland and the UK, a large number of people feel personally affected by the crisis, whereas in the continental European nations, Germany, France, Belgium, the Netherlands, and also in the Scandinavian nations, fewer people feel personally affected by the crisis, and this relates mostly to welfare state effort. So social spending has a statistically significant impact on the number or whether people feel personally impacted by the crisis. We also see that perceived crisis impact differs across social groups, and that it's the market-dependent groups who feel most affected, so the self-employed, the working class, and the unemployed, and that feeling personally affected by the crisis moderates these groups' welfare attitudes. So for the traditional welfare state opponents, welfare state support and support for redistribution they're more likely to support the welfare state and redistribution if they feel personally affected by the crisis. So this is basically the self-employed. Whereas traditional welfare state supporters are more likely to demand greater redistribution if they feel personally affected, but they're not more likely to demand greater state responsibility for social provision. But the important point is sort of the impact of the traditional opponents of the welfare state and sort of the broader implications that these findings have referred to the prospects of popular support for the welfare state in times of austerity. So many European nations, especially where that have been hit hard by the crisis, are now under pressure to reduce government debt and government spending. And one of the areas in which they actually can cut spending is social spending. And but these are often also the nations where demand for social protection is rather high. So the interesting question is what coalitions and what potentially fragile coalitions then might emerge for sustained support for the welfare state within the context of the Great Recession and this institutionalized austerity that we're facing within these nations. Thank you.
Patrick, I will start with a couple of questions. So the first one is the story that you're telling seems to be kind of a story of self-interest as a motivating support for welfare spending or sort of support with the welfare state. Have you in your work found or shown any other sources that can matter during economic crisis or in general?
Mm-hmm. This paper here or this presentation has looked at sort of crisis experiences in a very broad sense, that it sort of asks, have you been affected personally by the crisis or not? And I have also looked at, in a more nuanced comparison of Sweden, Germany, and the UK, at perceptions not only of one's own crisis experiences, but also of other people's crisis experiences. So whether people perceive or see their co-workers being laid off or acquaintances being laid off. And there, you can see that, and the assumption sort of is that if one experiences job loss of, or if one loses one's own job, then that mostly is self-interested related, versus when you see other people being laid off or acquaintances being laid off, then if you're not lose your job yourself, then that sort of relay or could trigger other regarding concerns or insecurity related concerns. And what I do find, in fact, is that in the UK, support for the welfare state increases if people lose their own job, but not if they see colleagues or acquaintances losing their jobs. So in the UK, it's mostly concern for one's own situation that relates to support for the welfare state. And that sort of can be connected to the institutional structure and setup of the British liberal welfare state. And if we look at Sweden, we see that losing one's own job actually isn't significantly related to support for the welfare state, but seeing acquaintances that one has heard of being laid off actually is positively related to support for the welfare state. So other regarding concerns become relevant within sort of an institutional context where the welfare state and the crisis policies implemented do not sort of highlight the boundaries between beneficiaries and net payers of the welfare state, but instead sort of blur these boundaries. So other regarding motives matter as well, but it's not easy to sort of get at to empirically disentangle that from self-interested concerns. So, there is some indication that there is more than self-interest that's driving support for the welfare state during economic crisis. And if there is more than self-interest driving support for the welfare state during economic crisis, if it's true that sort of perceptions of other people's crisis experiences can also go along with greater preferences for welfare state intervention, then we would have sort of during economic downturns also a more or less sustained or a more sustainable potential at least for welfare state solidarity also among those groups that are not affected personally and that are not likely to be affected personally, probably. So there are some indications, but it's sort of not easy to tease these out empirically.
Mm-hmm. And you kind of mentioned welfare state solidarity, and maybe if you could talk a little bit more about the implications of your work for kind of solidarity or welfare state support.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I talk about welfare state solidarity, I sort of understand that as the willingness of the public to support social policy and public spending for social policy, and I like to situate this presentation and this research also within sort of the prospects of welfare state solidarity in the context of the Great Recession. And I mean, what this results indicate is that there is a great demand, actually, for welfare state intervention, of course, in those countries that have been hit hard by the crisis and where a lot of people feel personally affected by the crisis. But at the same time, these are the nations that are under the greatest pressure to reform their national protection systems and to reduce government debt they have or had to go into. So that's a potentially sort of conflictuous constellation that might arise here. So the prospect of welfare state support might actually, its base might actually be rather fragile, or it might become a very contentious issue, especially in the southern and eastern European nations.
Mm-hmm. So I think that we should open it up for everyone to ask your questions. I'm sure there are some burning questions at this point. So
I have a question that is related, obviously, but not exactly direct to the entirety of your presentation. So obviously the economic crisis in 2010 was a major turning point for the course of the European welfare state. How do you think the current migration crisis and the combination of both an aging European population in a lot of the countries that are struggling with the current migration crisis, especially, as you said, like southern Europe is obviously a very targeted area. How do you think that'll affect the future and the survival of the welfare state in Europe?
Well, I think it puts the welfare state even under further pressure. We see that I mean, there is conflicting evidence on the impact of migration or ethnic diversity on popular support for the welfare state. There are some studies that do find that ethnic diversity or the number of migrants within a given country does not significantly diminish welfare state support. I mean, famously, this was claimed by Alberto Alesina and Glaser in their book, why sort of, and they're trying to explain differences between the US and Europe with sort of the amount of ethnic heterogeneity, and their sort of take on that was that the European welfare state is sustainable only to the extent that it doesn't become more ethnically diverse, and that sort of the US doesn't have a large-scale redistributive welfare state because it is ethnically so diverse. And I think what we see within the current migration crisis is indeed the rise of right-wing populist parties, for instance, in Germany, but also other nations that are trying to sort of capitalize on the refugee situation, and that sort of construct a distributional conflict between those in disadvantaged positions that are sort of the between migrants and the autochthon population or the inborn population and nationals. It puts welfare states under further pressure, but I think actually if you look at the policies and the behavior of southern European nations, they try to prevent or fight off refugees coming into their countries. So I think this is probably less of a stress test for the protection systems there then, but for sort of the larger construction of the European Union. But I mean, it certainly adds to the pressure under which the welfare state is. So
I would go after the same point about the populist parties and sort of the connection between support for the populist parties and the welfare state. Mm. And what I find interesting is that, especially in Scandinavia, where you have got sort of relatively strong populist parties, if you like, compared to what was in the past, those populist parties basically are pro-welfare state. Mm-hmm. And sort of, in a way, one... In my old days, this would have been described as working class conservatism. Mm-hmm. So I'd just like your comments on that.
Yes. I think that description might still be valid. I mean, the academic debate revolves around welfare chauvinism and sort of the tendency to exclude foreigners or people that are perceived as in some way different from social protection systems. And right-wing populist parties try to capitalize on that. I mean, not all of them. I mean, in Germany, there's a right-wing populist party that has a sort of interesting combination of economic liberalism and civil rights conservatism and on exclusion of foreigners. But I mean, I think in terms of heightened migration, welfare chauvinism is indeed a challenge to the welfare state. But the scientific evidence is at least from my view, is inconclusive. So we cannot be sure that migration indeed undermines the willingness to support the welfare state. I think it depends a lot on sort of the perceptions of migrants and sort of the population of migrants and the degree of sort of the degree to which they're perceived as different or similar. And we see that the more they tend to be viewed as different from the overall population, like culturally different, for instance, then you find actually a negative relation to popular support for the welfare state. But the scientific evidence on this issue is inconclusive, so we don't know for sure yet whether it actually undermines the European welfare state in the long run.
Well then, yes, thank you very much, Patrick, and thank all of you for being here.
This is Boston University's World of Ideas. You've just heard a lecture by Patrick Sakwe, Assistant Director of Sociology at Goethe University in Frankfurt, Germany. Professor Sakwe's lecture was titled The Welfare State at Risk and was presented by the Boston University Center for the Study of Europe. Tonight's moderator was Sigrun Olafsdottir, Associate Professor of Sociology at Boston University. For a CD of Boston University's World of Ideas, call 1-800-909-9287. You can also go to our website, wbur.org, to hear archived editions of this and all other WBUR programs. Tonight's program was produced by Mike Toda and Michael Garth with help from Ian McCarn. The executive producer of Boston University's World of Ideas is Peter Lydodes. I'm Jack Lepiarz. Thanks for joining us.